welcome the Reverend Trevor Baxter, his wife Mary is in the meeting tonight as well. Our brother has been a great encouragement to us over the years that we have known him. We'd like to take the opportunity tonight to thank him for all of that help and support as he's just passed the date and the age of his retirement. We want as a congregation to wish him and Mrs. Baxter a long and happy retirement. May they know good health and the Lord's blessing for many, many years yet to come. We've always enjoyed his fellowship and his ministry. We're thankful for every bit of help and guidance that he's given to us. Like myself, he's a martyr's man, started out in the Martyrs Memorial Church in Belfast, but ministered as a student in Newton Ards, and then came down to Dungannon. Many of you folk got to know him then. And the latter years of his ministry conducted down beside where I came from originally, down in Ballinahinch. I had the joy to share a gospel mission with him in the tent there in Ballinahinch just a few years ago, 3.5 years or so ago. And at those meetings, a cousin of mine came to the Saviour. And we rejoiced in that and the fact that she's still going on well with the Lord. The joy as well of going to Israel with him, maybe 21 years or thereabouts ago. So we've had many good times, and we're glad he's able to come tonight. We wanted to encourage the Lord's servant, and we're looking forward to the word of testimony that he's going to give to us this evening. Well, it's up to you. You'll work with this one.
Amen. The microphones are an abomination. I usually wear the clerical collar and can never get it pinned onto the shirt right, so I never used it. Makes no difference anyway, but it's a joy to be here this evening. I'd like to thank Mr. McMillan and the session for their permission to come and give a word of testimony. It's always a joy to testify to God's saving grace. I remember a few years ago listening to the late Willie Mullen, who was a great favourite of mine as a preacher. And he told the story that one night he was conducting a mission in a church, and along the front and about two different pews, there was about 12 or 13 clergymen, as he called them, all there with their clerical attire. He knew them all, and he knew there was only one of them saved. So he thought he would have a little fun with the whole thing. And what he did was, he called the Reverend John Gervin, whom he knew to be an evangelical believer, a godly man, and he called him to give a word of testimony. And Mr. Mullen said, you should have seen the faces of the other clergymen in the meeting. They just paled and almost fainted. But of course, he never called them, because he said they had no testimony to give. Always nice to think about this place. The first gospel mission I ever conducted on my own by invitation was in a wee place called Cady, whatever way you want to pronounce it, in the Orange Hall at Drumderg. And Mr. Ewart, an elder here in Armagh, invited me to take that mission. And that started us off. A few years ago, I was in the church, and one of the office bearers came over to me and he said, you know, that mission you took in Drumderg was the mission I was saved at. And I never knew that to that night. That's always an encouragement. And from that time, the Lord has been very good to us. We've been enabled to take missions every year since that year. Sometimes two, sometimes three, maybe once four, but that's too many. And if I tried to do four missions now in a year, I wouldn't make it. I'd be in heaven, because it's a great strain, but it's a great joy. And it's nice to be here tonight, and we want to thank the minister for the invite and the kind words that he spoke there also. I'm in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I was going to read a good number of verses, but I'm not going to do that. I just want to read several verses from chapter 2. Of Ephesians, please. Simply says in verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, the previous verses we could have read, because I want you to think of my testimony under three headings, just to help you remember. I want to say a wee word to you tonight about my past. That's by nature. And then a word about my present. That's by grace. And finally, a wee word about my prospect. That's glory. And really, that's really what the testimony is all about. See, when you're born, friend, into this world, you're born a sinner. That's your condition by nature. When you're born again of God's Spirit, you're taken from that state of nature to a state of grace. By grace are you saved. And then, of course, you're a prospect then by faith, because Paul writes here in verse 7 about the ages to come. What's going to happen to you in the future? My past. I don't want to dwell too much on the more seedier aspects of it, but I was born not into a Christian home in the year 1948. That's a long time ago, isn't it? Born into a home that was described as a loyalist home. And I have no shame in that name or in that title either. I was born into an Orange home. And I say the same thing about that. I was in the Orange Institution when I was young enough to join it. Our home was a poor home to start, where I was born and reared as a plate. Now you've heard, I'm sure, of the Shankill Road. You've heard of Sandy Row. Well, I want to tell you, I come from the most loyal place in the whole of Belfast. The place called Taggart Bay. Born and raised in that place. First of all, in a wee street where we didn't have such a luxury as a bathroom indoors. We had a bath, but it was made of tin, and it hung up in the yard outside. And we all had a bath in it on a Saturday night. Not all together, but sometimes the same water for a couple of us anyway. But I never forget those times. The house we lived in was infested with cockroaches. We were killing them and tramping in them on a regular basis. But then when I was about 11, I think it was, we moved to another house. And the woman that owned this house and lived in it, up a wee street or two from where we were reared first, was a woman who everyone thought was really the bee's knees as far as cleanliness and all the rest of it's concerned. She was out every day at the front door in the wee terraced house, cleaning the wee semicircle in the flagstones at the door. And she had a brass knocker on the door, and she was out with must have used a tin of brass a week, polishing this all up. The first 11 months we lived in that house, my father caught 49 mice. So we upgraded from the cockroaches to the mice. But on all that time, although it was not a religious home, I was sent to church. I never thought that. I was quite happy to go. Sunday morning, even Sunday night, Life Boys, Boys Brigade, Youth Club, the whole thing. I went there to one of the big churches in Belfast. But I have to tell you this, folks. Never once, I'm trying to be as honest and straight as I can, never once in the first 17 years of my life do I ever recall anybody in the church, either in the pulpit or in the pew or in the session or committee, ever telling me anything about God's salvation, except one man in those later years. And by then, I was well settled in my pathway of sin. But I had great love for certain things. Football was my thing. And my father, who was a footballer himself, he played a couple of times for Crusaders. He got that far and spent a season or two in the B division of the then Irish League, played for a club called Brantwood in North Belfast. And his desire for me and my desire was to be a footballer. But as a very young child, in fact, before I could ever have desires to be anything, I was under 2 years of age. I took what was then an epidemic within the country here in North in Belfast and in Northern Ireland. There was a polio epidemic. This was before polio injections or anything like that. And I developed that virus. And that meant that football on any sort of level was out. But support for football was never out. I had three great passions as a young lad. Linfield, Liverpool, and Rangers. And you know, if I'm going to be honest, and I know it's a Sabbath evening, there's still that in me. I still look, first of all, for those results. And yes, listen, I do watch much of the day. I'm not able to go now to the matches. I wouldn't go because of some of the language that's used in the terraces. It's rough. And I ought to know because I used to use it myself. But that was what I loved to do. I loved the game of cards as well. I think my dad bought me my first drink when I was about 14. And the Alexander Bar down in York Street, just across the road, was the bookies. You could place your bet in the bookies, then go over to the bar and watch the horse on the TV getting thumped, as it always did, any money I ever put on them. But that's how I was brought up. It wasn't that my father was a bad man. He was far from that. He was one of the most generous and kindly men I have ever known. Unfortunately, he died when he was only 50 years of age, very suddenly. Very sadly for me. In fact, he died the year Mary and I were married. He died in January, we married in August. But thank God, in later life, before death took him, the Saviour took him to be with himself. I'll always remember that one Sunday night. He was in hospital, and I went to Mr. Paisley after church, and I said, "Doc, would you do a favour? Could you go and see my father? He's in the Royal." Without any hesitation, "Oh yes, certainly, brother. Come with me." That was the days before he had police guards and so on, and he drove his own car. And as we were driving up to the Royal, he had to go a different way because even then there was a problem. The police advised him not to go directly to the Royal, but to take a course another direction. But as we were going up, you know, he always got the tape of his sermon that he just preached, and he listened to it in the car, and he put it on for me. Every so often he would say, "Brother, would he hear this?" He remembered everything he had said and played through. Anyway, went up, and we went into the hospital. It was quite late at night. It was the heart ward in the Royal. I look at it now with some humour because when he went in, all these men were in beds and had these machines on them and monitors on them. And the next thing, one after the other, they were all jumping up and saying, "There's Paisley, there's Paisley, there's Paisley." I thought it was me they recognised, but it wasn't. It was him. But anyway, the outcome was the next day he was able to get to my dad, along with Mr. McElveen, and he led him to Christ. And that's something I'm very grateful for to this day. But that's how I lived. I was quite a... had a foul tongue. I was a thief. Not in a very high level of thievery, but bad enough. Used to steal the biscuits from the local grocers. And the tails, as you can see. And I thought I was a great fella. Thought I was a great fella. Used to steal petrol for the motorbike from the firm I worked for. Just altogether a sinner. Folks, that's the state I'm in outside of Christ. And we all are. We're born sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous. Not one. The whole world is guilty before God. And that's where I lived for 17 years. In sin and in darkness. But in the providence of God, and to give a testimony, a full testimony, I have to tell you this. God brought me to the Free Church. Brought me, actually, through Dr. Paisley, to the Free Church. I saw him one night on a news bulletin in the mid-60s. And I thought to myself, that's a man I need to go and hear. Not because of any gospel he might preach. Oh, but I loved the political thing. And I went, found the wee church on the Ravenhill Road. The only objection I ever had to that church was the fact that it was built on the corner of Glentoram Street. Imagine calling any street by such a name. But that's where it was. And I found it. And I started to attend it. And for the very first time in my life, in that wee packed building, and it was always packed, galleries and all, people sitting in the stairs. And then the big man came in and he started to preach. He didn't preach what I thought he was going to preach. He preached the gospel. He told me that because I was a sinner, I was condemned already and I was going to hell. And I'd never heard that before. And in the initial stages, it didn't have any effect on me because I was a stranger to it. Even the day I got saved, I couldn't have told you what John 3:16 said. I didn't know. And yet as a child, I had learned scripture. I could repeat the Psalm 46 when I was only a child. And it has never left me. But I didn't know John 3:16. And certainly didn't know its personal application to me. But every rally, every meeting, every opportunity, as a lad of 17, coming 18, I would go to those meetings and those rallies all over Ulster. Didn't matter where it was. I was at it. And one night at a rally in Ballymena, there were three little books for sale. I'll tell you how long ago it was. The three booklets only cost, well, I was going to say 2 bob, but some of you might know what 2 bob is. What's 10p? Aye, 10p, that's what it was for the three of them. One was a sermon of the moderators by entitled Jesus Christ Not Able to Sin. Another was a wee book of a report of the three ministers that went to Rome and were all arrested in Rome. And the other one was a little booklet called In These Last Days, written by two young men at that time were in the Brethren. And they wrote this book. And I read that. So I read everything. Everything I got my hands on, I read it. But it had no impact on me at all. But 6 months afterwards, I'll never forget it, it was the 5th of November. It was 1966. It was coming up to 12 o'clock noon on a Saturday morning. I was in our flat where I lived with Mum and Dad. And I was on my own. And I just came across a wee booklet again. I said, I must read this again. And I started to read it. And you know something wonderful happened, folks. In a very quick time, I realized that what these men had written here was showing me that if I was to die at that moment, I would go to hell. For I wasn't living as a Christian in the last days, and the Savior might come, and I would be doomed. When I read that, God in a moment, and it was just in a moment, I often think of the conversion of Nathaniel. One moment was anything good ever in Nazareth, and the next moment thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the way it was with me. And I remember, folks, just when that overwhelmed me, Very simply, I got down on my knees at the seat I was sitting on and said, Lord Jesus, I don't know anything much, but I know this. I'm not saved. I'm not ready to die. Will you save me? Like that, folks. The work was done. The work was done. I hadn't to learn theology. That would come later. I'm a very strong Calvinist now. But I wouldn't have known anything about John Calvin in those times. And I would know very little about doctrine. But I knew I was lost. Bless God, Jesus found me. By grace, you see, I was saved through faith. That faith was not of myself. It was the gift of God. It wasn't of works. I couldn't boast of my works. I could only boast of my sin. But I tell you, folks, I would be a man greatly embarrassed if my sins were written up in this wall here behind the pulpit. I would never show my face again, but all my sins and all my iniquities tonight are under the blood. They're all atoned for, every one of them. The book says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. And I find that to be so because I had a terrible tongue. God cleansed it. God cleansed it. Oh, I tried the drink. I tried the cigarettes. Never got hooked on either, but tried it because it was the done thing. But every other sin in the book and some that aren't in the book, I tried. I tried the broken cisterns, but oh, the waters fail. I was lost until Jesus found me. Remember a few years ago, I was in a shopping mall with the Reverend Elliot, and I lost him in the throng of people. He's not the biggest man on earth, and I couldn't see him, and I was looking all round. Then I heard this voice behind me a bit. Are you lost? I said, you once were lost, weren't you? But Jesus found you. And I turned round and there was a wee brethren evangelist from Dungannon. And he had seen me. At least he acknowledged the fact that it was a Christian. I was delighted about that. But that's the key, folks. I once was lost. But Jesus found me. He found the sheep that had went astray. And he threw his loving arms around me that day. He drew me back into his way. Oh, God, save me then. What about my present and time is going? Well, my present through the grace of God is this. For the last 47 years, I have sought to be a servant of Jesus Christ. I know from 1971 to 1975, I worked full time in the Martyrs Memorial Church. Dr. Paisley asked me to do that, consider it, and I did, and I worked for 4 years in charge of the outreach team, full time, about every day, at least 4 days a week, round doors. And I remember going into the Beaver Estate just out in the outskirts of Belfast and spent 9 months in it, 4 days a week, more or less, going round the doors. I was taught many things. 1975, went into the college. I was promised 3 years of hard work and study. That's what I was promised. That's not what I got. I got 4 years of murderous hard work and study. And not only did they put another year on to study, but they brought in Hebrew and Greek. The only Greek I ever knew was a wee man owned a restaurant down in Belfast. I hadn't a clue. I was never a man possessed with great intellect. Had to go to school again. 25 years of age, sitting with 16-year-olds, studying for English and history and literature and all that. It was horrendous. The martyrs paid for my education, and I was very grateful to them for that. We went in. Newton Orge, after a year, I was placed there as a student in charge. I loved that time. It was a great wee church, still is. People were very kind to me and very good to me. And I went from there then, when I was finished the studies, I went. I got a call to Newton Orge, called to Dungannon. Several other churches were asking about it because, not that I was anything special, it's just I was the only student out that year. There was nobody else. And they were crying out for ministers. And so people came and asked, and I had a big decision to make. And I went, of course, as you would know, to Dungannon. I was there over 18 years. Enjoyed the time there. The children were growing up. They grew up in that area. It was hard for us to leave and go to Ballinahinch. But I did that. Should have mentioned, by all this time, of course, I was married. And as Mary often points out to me, the night that I proposed to her, the grounds of the Belfast Castle. I always dispute this, you know, for I think it was her did the proposal. But I said that, and then I was so uptight with nerves and all, I just broke rings round me. The man says, and you've been booking ever since. But no, that's not true at all. But that was 42 years ago. And we're still together. It's a miracle. That again, you see, is the grace of God. I could stick any one woman for all those years. I just don't know. In reality, I don't know how it is the other way around. But anyway, of course, we were married. The Lord bless us with the four children. A couple of them are here tonight. Well, God has been good. And on the 1st of September this year, I hit the magic 65, and I thought, well, it's time to go. And I'm going to tell you something. This is amazing. I have had a problem with blood pressure for about 30 odd years. And since my retirement, the blood pressure has been tested about four times. And for the first time in all those years, it was reading normal. That tells me that you folk and folk like you wrecked me with blood pressure problems. But it is strange. I thought about that, and I was so. But anyway, the Lord has brought us safely thus far, and we hope, as long as I'm able to do it, God helping me, I will preach until the missus tells me, listen, you're losing it. Some of the kids have told me that already about other things, but that's what she says, and that's what I'm happy to accept. So when I quit preaching, you know why it is. The boss has said, no more. And there'll be no more. But four children and seven grandchildren later, we are here by the grace of God. And I want to say, as I finish tonight, there's so much, folks, we could have gone on to tell you, but I haven't time to do that. But I want to say this. Paul writes in these words here, that in the ages to come, so death for me and for every individual in the world is not the end. There are the ages to come. And my prospect in the ages to come is heaven. For Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. You could have your cabin in the corner of Glory Land if you want. I have a mansion prepared by him for me. Not because there's anything in me that merits that, or deserves it, or has earned it. Oh no, but because God in his grace has saved my soul, washed me in the blood of Christ, cleansed me from all my sin, kept me to this hour, and when death does come, as it will, the Lord tarries, I have this hope, a hope that will surely endure, that I will be with him. Christ has promised this, and I believe. David Livingstone commented on those words when Jesus said, if I go, I will come again. Livingstone said that was the word of a gentleman. So it is. Men, listen, he's coming. tell me this. Are you ready? There's a family night. Are all the family in? Are all the children in? Are all the mums and dads in? I prayed for my mother, and I finish with this, for 27 years from the day God saved me. 8 years after Daddy died, Mum married again. And providentially, she started attending a wee church in the Somerton Road in Belfast, an evangelical Presbyterian church. The Reverend Garland was the minister, a godly man and a good man. And then she, along with my stepfather Roy, came under the influence of the Reverend Smiley. And my mother just worshipped the ground that Alan Smiley walked on. It was unbelievable how close that she got to him and his wife, and how good they were to her. But Alan asked me to do a mission in the John Knox Church. Mum and Roy were going at that time to the church. They were there almost every night at the mission. The last night of the campaign, we made the appeal. There was no response. They went out. They were like everybody else. 2 minutes later, the doors opened. Mary and I were standing at the front of the wee church in the Shankill Road. And the doors opened, and in came Alan and Vivian Smiley with my mum and stepfather. And they brought them into the wee prayer room to the left of the pulpit. And Alan said to me, "Do you want to come in?" I couldn't. I have to tell you the truth. I couldn't stand hardly up at that moment. I couldn't walk hardly. I was so overcome. But 10 minutes after they went into that room, they came out of that room saved by the grace of God. And she lived for about 17 years after that. Died just a short while ago, a couple of years ago. And proved by the life and her speech what happened that night was real. And I have done a lot of missions in my ministry. We've seen a good number of folk profess faith over the years. That was the best mission I ever had. And I know that I have a mother and a father and a wee sister that I never knew in heaven tonight. And here's my prospect one day. I see them again round the throne of the Lamb. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Oh, friend, listen. Get your family in by the grace and mercy and love of God. Thank you for listening. The Lord bless the words to all of our hearts. Amen. Thank you, Paul.